You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you for two golfing events this week. We have the Belgian Knockout on the European Tour and one of the best events of the year on the PGA Tour, the Memorial Tournament at Jack's Place, Muirfield Village. That's all to come. And Dave Tindall, off air, just told me he could only have one bet this week may only have one bet this week because it's his most confident tip of the year, which left me astounded. So I'm looking forward to hearing that later on in the podcast.
Yeah, setting myself up for a massive fall, but there we go.
I like it, though. I like the confidence. Before we talk about this week, then, I presume that best bet of the year comes in the Belgian Knockout.
No.
Before we talk about those two events this week, let's discuss what happened last week. Great performance from Kevin Na at Colonial. Second best round of the day on Sunday, 66 to win. I love his mannerisms. He's like a classic prize fighter, isn't he? Every shot seems to matter to him.
Yeah, and he kept quoting the stat where he'd led that tournament after, you know, round 1, 2, 3, before round 4 on Sunday, more than any other tournament. So it's one he thought he could win, definitely. He sort of got a bit of heat, didn't he, for saying he's only around 80 can ever win in.
Yeah.
But I sort of see what he's saying, and he is a very horses for courses type of golfer, isn't he? If you just back him at the same places. I listened back to the podcast to see if we'd mention him. I mentioned him a little bit.
Yeah.
But maybe more in terms of first round leader. So did feel that it was one that got away, really.
Yeah, he was sensational on Sunday, and it was a really nice touch of him to give the classic car to his caddy as well. That was a lovely touch, and maybe it's just my imagination, but his pace of play seems to have quickened as well.
Yeah, well, I think it's come with confidence. Obviously, he was on one win forever, wasn't he? And then he finally got that second win last year, and I think from there, I think now he's someone who you don't just think he will inevitably flop in a final round, because it was all the other big names who never got it going. Spieth went backwards again. Finau didn't quite get there.
Yeah.
Sort of, nah. I think in his Saturday press conference, he actually gave a number that he thought would win it. So he was very clear in his thinking. He didn't sort of dodge the question. He just, he might have said 12 under. He got to 13 with that birdie at the last. But it just seemed like someone who was in control and physically and mentally. So, yeah, he's one to watch.
And Bernd Wiesberger, the winner in the Made in Denmark, back with a bang, obviously a quality player, and that was evident in his play down the stretch as well. Missed a lot of time through injury and was chased hard by the very promising Bobby McIntyre, who played brilliantly barring that tee shot on 17. And I must admit, didn't mention him on the podcast, McIntyre, but I'd backed him in play.
Oh, dear.
So I was at 40s. So
oh, very
I was,
good.
Well, I didn't cash in the end.
I was a win only.
Yeah, win only. Yeah, okay. Just a small win only. But I was hoping that he would get the better of Wiesberger. And the stars seemed to align to a certain extent for Wiesberger. Hold out from 66 yards on the par 5. But I thought McIntyre was brilliant down the stretch as well. So two very good players going head-to-head there.
Yeah, McIntyre runner-up in the British Masters. And both times he's just not backed off, has he? He's got into a good position on the weekend and just kept it going. And he's definitely a very promising player. In terms of Wiesberger, I know lots of people were kind of noticing that he was once a world top 25 player, and at some point he's got to come back. And it's, do you wait until he's dropped a big hint, or do you just keep anticipating it? He'd sort of dropped some hints, hadn't he, recently? He was 23rd in the Indian Open, 14th in the China Open. Not so great in the British Masters, but made the cut. So there were grounds, I think, for Wiesberger backers to get involved there, but I think he was maybe 66 to 1 in the end. So if you just kept blindly backing him, you've got a nice payout.
Let's talk about this week then, the Belgian knockout 2019 first of all, and we're betting 22-1 the field with Thomas Peters at the top of the market. Bernd Wiesberger and Thomas Dietrich are both 25s, along with last year's winner Adrian Ortegi. Romain Langasque is 33-1 along with Tom Lewis. Richie Ramsey and Bobby McIntyre are 40-1 and bigger the remainder. I was thinking back to last year and trying to work out whether it was a success or not. And I must admit, I couldn't remember anything about the event. It was well supported. I do remember it was well supported. And I guess it provided a decent winner as well, with Adrian Ortegi taking the title. And given that he'd won the Paul Laurie match player the year before, maybe that's something to look at. But I must admit, I couldn't recollect anything about the final.
I'm the same. I'm thinking, was I on holiday somewhere? Were you on holiday?
I have no idea.
I wasn't on holiday with you, but we could have had separate holidays. I certainly don't remember any of the final.
No, I don't either. I think I did watch some of the event, I think. The Peters family host the tournament.
Yes. And that's Thomas Peters, not Mary Peters, yeah. Former athlete.
The course is the Rincon International in Antwerp. It's a short par 71. Measures just 6,924 yards. A couple of par fives and three par threes on the layout. And Poana Greens overseeded with bent grass. The format is a strange one this week as well, isn't it? We got first two rounds pure stroke play.
Yeah, which is fair enough. And the top 64 go through. So it's virtually the same as a normal event, isn't it?
Exactly, up to that point.
Yeah.
And those tied for 64th will play off for a place in the last... on Saturday and Sunday anyway. The players, the 64 that qualify, are split into 32 each. The first 32 will play on the front nine. The second 32 play on the back nine on Saturday. You have nine holes of head-to-head stroke play matches based on the player's position on the leaderboard after the first 36 holes. And that's a stroke play element. And basically to win, you've got to win three nine-hole stroke play match play head-to-heads on Saturday, then three on Sunday to win it.
It's quite a lot, isn't it?
Quite a lot of golf.
Yeah.
So you could play 27 holes on Saturday and 27 holes on Sunday, basically.
You don't want people who are not fit on any level.
Yeah, I suppose so. And if you're taking just 1 year as a barometer, those that didn't make mistakes last year came out on top. You don't want that volatility of play, given that it is stroke play.
Yeah, I guess you could. The European Tour has kind of limited stats, but one of them is bogey, number of bogeys, isn't it? So someone low in that bogey count chart, bogey avoidance might be worth looking at. It does. Maybe you think over nine holes, you want someone who makes loads of birdies, but it's maybe just avoiding the mistake, playing them in one under, two under, might just solid and get it done. It's an interesting one. When you think of sort of memories of it, I think I remember the shot clock Masters more of the sort of quirky. Is that coming up? No, it's not, is it? Next week is the another Golf Sixes.
Yeah,
but not in England.
Okay,
in Portugal.
Right.
So some of these, they're kind of meant to sort of stand out, aren't they? And we can't think what they were.
Yeah.
The shot clock did, because that had a more...
The shot clock was
definitive sort of USP to it. But this one was just let's think of another variation. What can we do?
Yeah.
So you can't really even bring in match play thinking, can you?
It's a difficult betting event.
Yeah, you'd want something like some stat on how they play the first nine.
Yeah.
But we don't have such a thing.
22-1 it is, the field.
Yeah, I suppose you could argue with that. If you're back in the favourites, if this was pure stroke play, Peters would be about 12s, wouldn't they, or 14s?
Possibly, but there's so many different variables here. All you need to do is run into someone that's hot for nine holes and you're out, basically.
Yeah.
And that's why it is 22-1 the field.
Yeah, that's why they've done that. I guess if you're thinking you can just get through a few of the stroke play rounds, then you... It'd be easier to, you'd have a better each way price than you would if he was in a regular event. But it takes a bit of thinking to get my head around. I mean, I've just about got one bet.
Yeah, me too. Just one bet for me.
You go first.
Soren Kjeldsen is my
let me down terribly last week.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was pretty poor last week, wasn't he? It's not an event I want to get too heavily involved with, definitely. But I thought Kjeldsen was worth a few quid, given he's an attractive price on the back of that miscut last week, where he was obviously by yourself and many others expected to contend. Quite a lot of pressure on the Danes in that tournament, and Kjeldsen didn't play particularly well in difficult windy conditions. Before that, he'd finished a promising tied 15th at the British Masters, and this tree-lined track really suits a player like Kjeldsen. He was actually tied for third after the stroke play section last year in the event, and beat Jens Fabring in the round of 64 before falling to a red-hot Mike Lorenzo Vera in the next round. He actually shot a respectable 2-under over those nine holes, but Lorenzo Vera was 5-under for his nine. I think on 1 year's evidence, you need a neat and tidy player to contend, and Kjeldsen is just that. So I thought at 50-1, he was worth... Well, the podcast is chancing him for the second week in succession.
Yes, he owes us one, big time. I'm going to go with Chris Paisley.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, he is 40-1. I thought it was an acceptable price on Paisley. Fourth at the Maid in Denmark last week, finished really nicely with a 65. Ninth in greens in reg there, which was nice, putted well as well. And just looking at his scoring this year, it's been consistent. 24th South African Open, 18th Alfred Dunhill, 24th Saudi, 9th Oman. There's lots of solid, consistent play. So if you're looking for someone who's not going to throw in some crazy 78 somewhere, then he seems to have been ticking over very sort of consistently and nicely. Didn't play it last year, so all we've got in terms of Belgium is a performance he produced on the Challenge Tour, the European Challenge, Belgian Challenge Open it was called, and he was 15th, so that doesn't hurt, does it?
No.
So it's just a steady player at a reasonable price, really, who's in form.
Chris Paisley, 40-1, goes with Søren Kjeldsen at 50-1. Just a couple I want to mention very quickly. Pablo Larrazabal doesn't have a great match play record, but I'm not sure that matters in this event. He's playing well at the moment, really trending in the right direction. He's 40-1. And, of course, Bobby McIntyre at 33-1 is definitely a name to watch in the future.
Yes. Roman Langask I looked at as well.
Yeah.
He's got lots of good form. I think three top sixes in his last five starts. So I think he's sixth in bogey avoidance as well. So he's a steady player. Did you take into account putting good putters in this or not particularly?
No. I must admit.
Because the format isn't really.
Yeah, it was I had a cursory glance at a number of different things and.
I think if you're looking at greens, if you're looking in at greens in reg, a good greens in reg stat is normally the sign of a solid, consistent player because that's the thing they do.
Yeah,
you know, the putting can come and go and blow hot and cold, but generally, if they hit lots of greens, they're going to do all right.
Right, I'm desperate to find out what your best bet of the entire year is, so that's coming up very shortly. The Memorial Tournament, the big event this week, Rory McIlroy is the 9-1 favourite, Tiger Woods is 11-1, Patrick Cantlay is 16s, along with Justin Rose and Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler 18-1, along with Justin Thomas, Tony Finau, Jason Day, Matt Kuchar, all 20s, and it's 22-1 and bigger the rest. Always one of the best events on tour, and it's because it's hosted by Jack Nicklaus and played on a scorable course, and it's always very well attended as well. And we're a couple of weeks away from the US Open, but this event is so prestigious. I'm sure the top names are focused on this week and this week alone. Not only is there a heck of a lot of cash up for grabs, the winner gets a 3-year exemption on the PGA Tour, and we've seen some surprising big price winners of this in the past too. David Lingmuth was one of those back in 2015, and Willie McGirt definitely was in 2016 too. Tiger Woods has won this event 5 times, with his last win coming back in 2012, and Jack Nicklaus designed the course, so you'd expect the challenge to increase the closer a player gets to the green. And to a certain extent, that is true, because scrambling is notoriously difficult at this venue. The greens are quite small, and they run about 13 on the stint meter, so it's tough if you miss them, Dave.
Yeah, you always think of Nicklaus, the phrase, as a second-shot golf course, isn't it? He designed, some of the design was done on Augusta National, so we always think of that as a second shot golf course. So, yeah, you're looking for strong iron players, very good stats on strokes gained approach and greens in reg.
Yeah, and I think it's noticeable that those who drive the ball well have thrived here too. And a few players have talked about laying back off the tee, not challenging the fairway bunkers, because they're quite penal, the fairway bunkers at Muirfield Village. And Jason Day is one that has said if you hit it 280, it sets up perfectly. And maybe that's why Matt Kuchar's had such a great success at the course.
you've opened the magic box and lots of ticker tapes flown out of it.
I did think when I was looking through the betting, Matt Kuchar might be your best bet this year so far.
Yeah, it was one of those where I cannot find a single hole in the argument for him. So therefore, what can you accept price-wise? How low can you go, as the song goes? And 20-1 was all right. I thought perhaps traditionally you're thinking Kuchar is a 33 or a 40, yeah. But no,
he'll feel like this, I suppose.
Yeah, not in this form, not this year. He's gone to a completely different level, Matt Kuchar. Got two wins already. He's a former winner here, and if you go through his results, it's just crazy. He never has a. I think you have to go back to 2003 to find the last time he didn't finish in the top 26, and so many of those are payout, you know, each way collections. So he's got the win in 2013, runner up 2011, fourth 2016, again fourth 2017. So fantastic course form, fantastic current form. As I said, two wins, the one in Hawaii, the one in Mexico. Be interesting, wouldn't it? We've just seen give his caddy a car, and Kuchar gave his caddy a toy car, didn't he, basically? So that would be interesting if he wins there. And since that second win, again, he's just kept going, hasn't he? Phoenix Open, fourth, runner-up in the match play.
Yeah.
Seventh Texas Open, 12th in the Masters, a good Masters. You'd think by then he's running on fumes. He's played so many weeks in a row. Then he finished second at Hilton Head. Eighth at the PGA Championship, on and on it goes. All the stats look good. He's number one in greens and regulation this year. If you don't like those old-fashioned ones, he's six in approach, so similar sort of thing.
Yeah.
Does everything well, doesn't he? Just does everything well at the minute. And that, we've sort of ribbed him a little bit about his sort of mean streak, but it's probably had a very positive effect on his results. He just seems a bit more of a, you know, more of a sort of killer machine,
ruthless,
doesn't he?
Isn't
yeah.
He
so I cannot see why he doesn't get a place. So I'm going to go, when you come to this section, 2 points each way on him.
Okay, Matt Kuchar, I can see it. 20-1. He was on my list.
Yeah. He can't not be on anyone's list, surely, can he?
That's the thing. I think he's. I think a lot of people will be focusing on Matt Kuchar this week, just given the form he's in. And I think he's gained 100 more strokes than anyone else at this venue in the last 10 years or so. There's a ridiculous stat doing the rounds like that. I didn't note it down at the time, but I saw it on Twitter. Yeah, his performance at Muirfield Village has been superb, and it is a course that just sets up brilliantly for him.
Yeah.
Given he can avoid all the trouble off the tee and
that's it. It is perfect. And as well, obviously with betting, it's not just picking the right players. You've also got to think about staking plans.
Yeah.
So this is why I want to kind of ramp it up. It's not just he's my pick for this tournament. I want, for me personally, I'm going to double sort of what my normal stake would be, rather than, oh, I'll have a bit on him and a bit on someone in the Belgian knockout. No, I don't really fancy anyone. It's a token gesture, the Belgian knockout. If you're having a bet this week, you know, focus on the Memorial, focus on Kuchar. That would be my advice.
Okay, I'm going Adam Scott as my my headline selection here at 33-1. He's won at Firestone before, and obviously that course correlates well with this one, because both events were held in this move this
Ohio,
year.
Ohio,
yeah. But they're going to TPC Southwind, aren't they?
Yes, the old St Jude venue.
Yeah, and a lot of players have performed with distinction at both those courses, Firestone and here at Muirfield Village. And even though Scott's got a mixed record at Muirfield, he has finished fourth at the course back in 2014. And I love how well he's been putting this season so far, ranking 17th in strokes gained on the greens. Maybe not predictive, but he has gained shots putting in his last seven starts, and if he can combine that with his ball striking, could be a top week for the Aussie. 12th at the Players, 18th at the Masters, 8th at the USPGA, and he's talked about his renewed desire to win more tournaments, including major championships this season. And the way he's striking at the moment, I think this could be his week. He should feast on those par fives, and his tee to green game is in good order as well. So I expect him to contend. Adam Scott, 33.
Yeah, I really like Adam Scott this week, because if you go back to the front end of the betting, and we can sort of maybe pick these off.
Yeah.
Rory's been in slightly odd form. Tiger
could contend this week. I think he might bounce back.
But no, I don't think his value at 12s when there's doubts over how physically.
Yeah, I think that's a key issue.
Strong ears.
It does set up nicely for him because Jack Nicklaus likes to reward guys that fade the ball into the greens because that's how his game's set up.
Yeah, and he's, what's he, a four-time winner here?
So I think he's won it five times,
right.
I think.
So he's, it's one of his courses, but I think the timing's just a little bit not right for him.
Yeah.
Spieth did it by smoke and mirrors for three rounds last week and then got found out. So yeah, as much as his putting's great, long game just isn't there yet. Rose, you start to think with Rose now, maybe he shouldn't have switched clubs. I know he got that early win and it threw us all off the scent. Oh, he's there. He knew more than we did. But he's having some iffy results, isn't he, in event. Like last week, he was the defending champion, 58th or something he finished. Justin Thomas is coming back from injury. He sort of goes through, and Fowler's gone off the boil. A couple of...
Patrick Cantlay
is good, but he's 14s. Yeah, I mean, that is... You know, that is... Why is Cantlay 14s and Kuchar 20s? I don't get that.
16s Cantlay is. I'm showing 16s anyway on... Are you on the William Hill website?
I just refreshed. There were some arrows, and red. And
right.
I think Cantlay's just been cut as we speak.
Oh, yeah, he has, yeah. Mm. You're right. Yeah, Cantlay's just been cut.
So don't get why he's 14s and Kuchar's 20.
No, that's fair comment. You know I love Cantlay.
Yes.
So I was interested in him this week, but not 14-1.
No, exactly. Finau didn't get it done again. Schauffele's sort of gone off a little bit. Matsuyama is very close, I have to say.
You'll be absolutely gutted if he wins this
week.
Well,
it'd have to be my play I don't want to win.
I
backed him when he won it in 2014 because he played the President's Cup there the year before and done really, really well.
Yeah.
He played nicely, and it's definitely his sort of course. But he'd be the only other one, really, where I'm thinking I'm a bit concerned. But I think there's question marks over a lot of those at the front end.
Shall I give my second selection?
Sorry, I was wittering on.
No,
yes.
It's fine. It's fine. Mine's a bigger price anyway, the second pick. So 100-1, my second
Kevin Streelman,
selection.
No,
Andrew Putnam.
Right.
Is my second pick.
Going for the form horse.
Yeah, he's notoriously pretty streaky. His win at the Barracuda came on the back of a tie for eighth at the Canadian Open. And you look through his career record, he tends to put his performances together, and he did return to form with a tie for third at Colonial last week. On the back of that, I'm keen to be with him. He's a player who can run hot with the putter as well, and he talked about his game rounding nicely into shape last week, and that was evidenced by the stats as well. He was strong in all areas, and he has had success on a Jack Nicklaus design before with that win in the Barracuda at Montreux Country Club.
Yeah.
That's a Nicklaus design. And he's only played this event once back in 2015, finished 68th. But that was his only made cut in a run of seven missed cuts. Mm-hmm. So that can maybe be upgraded, that performance. And he's obviously a much better player now. I think he'll go well on the greens. It's just whether or not he reaches them in the right number, Andrew Putnam. And I think at 100-1, you can take a risk with him.
Yeah, I mean, when you say he was 68th on his last time, that became a terrible 68th because he shot 82 in the final round.
Absolutely. So. I think he was top 20 going into the weekend there.
Yeah, 66 in round two. I mean, if you can play 66 on your second round there, there's something there for him at that course. So, yeah, Streelman was the three-figure price when I looked at.
100-1.
Yeah, just because he's got a lot of course form, Kevin Streelman. He's got 7th, 8th, 13th, 18th. Three top 20s in the last 4 years at the course, Streelman. And we saw him in April get a pair of back-to-back top sixes at the Texas Open and the Heritage. So he put that together. He could be a decent shout at three-figure price.
Yeah, I liked PTU line as well. He's been clawed a little bit in the betting now. He's 66-1 with us, which is too short.
Yeah, we've got him, haven't we, there?
Yeah, but he's starting to round into a bit of form, isn't he? Played well on his last two starts, Peter Uihlein. This is a course that could suit him, so I quite like Uihlein at 66-1 as well, but, well, I like him, but not at the price.
Yeah.
Any others you want to mention? We've been through many of the
Went through the top end, didn't we? I wondered if you might, because you mentioned him last week when I was a bit, Jim Furyk.
Yeah, he played well, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was a good performance from Furyk. He could easily go well again. I do like him on that course last week, though, more than this one.
Yeah, I mean, he's 80s, but he's won the Memorial.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're sort of going back a bit, 2002. He's got a second and a fourth as well. A couple of seconds, actually. Fifth in 2015.
Yeah.
An interesting one, Furyk.
80-1 is Jim Furyk.
Yeah, he was chucked in at 40s or something.
Yeah, I think he is. You've got to back him on certain courses. A little bit like Kevin Na, I suppose, as well. A definite horses for courses player. At this stage in his career, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's. The player you don't want to win then. Mine would have to be Patrick Cantlay, just because
Matsuyama. Yeah. Yeah, because they're sort of our two favourites that we put up a lot.
Moment, yeah. Okay, let's recap the selections for this week then, starting with the one pick in the Belgian knockout.
Yeah, just half a point each way on Chris Paisley at 40s.
Yeah, I'll go half a point each way as well on Soren Kjeldsen at 50-1 as my sole pick in Belgium and in the event in America, the Memorial.
Yeah, with wading in here with 2 points each way on Matt Kuchar at 20s. I'm even tempted to go 2.5 each way. I will go 2.5 each way at 20s.
I'm going 1.5 each way on Adam Scott at 33s and a point each way on Andrew Putnam at 100-1. Dave Tindall, thank you for your company.
Yeah, cheers, Dave.
Oh, wait, sorry. You know what? We've forgotten the Golden Albatross.
Yes.
We've forgotten the Golden Albatross here. Hashtag your odds, because it only comes around once in a blue moon, seemingly. but we have put together a hashtag your odds. Mine's pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. I've gone with Adam Scott to finish in the top 10. He's one of my two selections, so I've been through the reasons why. And yours is someone you've not mentioned on the podcast yet, Corey Connors, to finish in the top 20.
Yeah, I was looking for good iron players at a big price who just have to play quite well rather than something spectacular and get a top five.
Yep.
So Corey Connors, we saw him win the Texas Open. He's done okay since. He's made 4 or 5 cuts since. 31st at the Colonial last week. I thought that was a nice build-up. He's always got good greens and reg figures. You sort of go through the top names on approach, and he's sort of the outlier. I think, what's he doing in there? But clearly, he can strike his irons. It's his first go at Muirfield Village, so that's a little bit of a guess. But in terms of what scraps we have got to go on, he's played the web.com in Ohio 4 times and's got a couple of top 15s and a 24th. So might just like that area. And the course, you know, trot along, play nicely, finish 17th, you've done your job.
Absolutely, that includes the ties as well. So Adam Scott, top 10 finish, Corey Connors, top 20 finish is the Golf Podcast hashtag your odds this week. We'll have a point on that, 18-1.
18-1, right.
So there you go. Dave Tindall, thank you for your company.
Thank you, Dave.
At Dave Tindall Golf, if you want to follow Dave on Twitter, you can follow myself at D Kellner. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Thank you for listening. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week. And if you're having a bet, do it here with William Hill. And the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.